The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise God. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you can join us today for another Netcast, and I've got a couple of announcements before we get into the Word today. Of course, having to do with SpeakFaith.tv, as usual. Still working toward getting Brother Kenneth Hagin, Pastor Hagin's permission to use Rhema Praise on the SpeakFaith.tv channel, so that's not released yet. However, I do want to announce that we've added a new ministry to SpeakFaith.tv, and that is Pastor Brad H. Spencer. He is pastor from Hickory, North Carolina, and he's currently doing a series of teaching on faith foundations. And his program is called Faith Connections. So check that out. He is currently, quote, in production on SpeakFaith.tv, and we were really excited to add him. He is Harold Cagle's pastor. As you know, Brother Harold is the founder, along with his wife Peggy, of Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org. So it's great to have Harold and Peggy's pastor on SpeakFaith.tv, and I'm sure you will be blessed by that program. We've also added back in, let me put it this way. We put it on the beta side, the beta channel. Is Pastor Ed's radio program, A Word in Due Season. Pastor Ed Taylor, my pastor, is now back on SpeakFaith.tv beta. He will go back on the production side as soon as we republish the production side again. And that hopefully won't be too long if we could get Pastor Hagin to give us the okay to publish his program. And I'm also working on trying to get permission for Mark Hankins' program as well. So I've got messages out to them. Hopefully we'll get permission from them and be able to put their programs on SpeakFaith.tv as well. Brother Harold told me today, matter of fact, sent me a text message today saying that Dr. Rick Renner, who was on SpeakFaith.tv and is now back on SpeakFaith.tv, now has his own Roku channel. So that's really exciting that so many people are taking advantage of this particular platform of the Roku. Now, that ought to encourage a lot of you folks to get a Roku device. And good news is that a Roku, what they call a streaming stick, which is the lowest end model of the Roku device, is now available for $29.95, under $30. So I encourage you to check into that. You know, we don't get anything from that. We don't, you know, like make any money, or we're not affiliates or any of that kind of thing for that. But I just would encourage you to go to Roku.com, R-O-K-U.com, and check out their offerings, because there's so many great ministries now that have Roku channels. And, of course, our own Roku channel, SpeakFaith.tv, has many, many ministers that are preaching and teaching the uncompromising Word of Faith. So I really want to encourage you to check that out. Something else I wanted to mention to you is an opportunity for you to become an even closer part of the ministry here at Word of Faith Ministries and Word of Faith Radio. The staff of Word of Faith Radio, which would be Harold and his wife Peggy and myself, have a desire to go down to the International Convention of Faith Ministries 40th Annual Convention, because we would like to reach the ministers down there. We're talking about ministers from all around the world. This is the 40th Annual Convention. It is a convention that is being held back in Fort Worth, Texas, where the original convention was first held back in 1979. I was there to be a charter member of ICFEM. Back then it was called ICFCM, the International Convention of Faith Churches and Ministries. Now it is the International Convention of Faith Ministries. But all through these 40 years, I've been associated with ICFEM, and I really appreciate the work they're doing. But the key is that a lot of ministers are going to be at this convention from around the world. It's a great opportunity for us to reach out to them to potentially being on Word of Faith Radio and, letting their congregations know about Word of Faith Radio to get the word out. And so an awesome opportunity, one that is really going to make a critical difference with the ministry of Word of Faith Radio. But we would love to have you help us do that, because we'd like to put together promotional materials. We'd like to have printed materials. We'd like to have electronic materials like a USB drive that has information about the station on it and so forth. And all of that, of course, costs money. And so if you'd like to help us with that, you can go to GoFundMe.com, GoFundMe.com/ICFM trip. Now that's one word, ICFMTRIP, kind of collapsed together as one word, as you see there on the screen. Or you can go to the WFR website, WFR.org. There, if you go down to the right-hand column, you'll see a banner there that you can click on. It will take you to that site for GoFundMe.com/ICFM trip. We'd love for you to contribute to that trip. We already have, at the moment of my recording this, we have $100 that has been pledged toward that, and it's really exciting. Our goal is $2,500 to cover all the expenses necessary for this particular trip. So you pray about it, and if the Lord prompts you to give, then you can go to that site and give toward this particular effort, and it would be a real blessing to the ministry. Praise the Lord. All right, we want to get into the Word today, and I want to do something very similar to what I did recently as an audio message. I have two new audio messages out on the WOFM.org website. If you go to the left-hand column, scroll down the side there, you'll see audio archives. The audio teaching archives. If you'll click on that, it will take you to our audio messages, which are freely available for download. And the two most recent are on the book of Jude. Okay? And so I won't try to reteach that. I'm tempted to, because I just got through finishing up that second part of the message a few days ago, and it's fresh on my heart and my mind. But go listen to those messages. It will be a blessing to you. And what we did there is what's called an expository teaching. An expository teaching is where you take a section of Scripture and teach from that section of Scripture and basically then hit all of the different topics that are covered in that Scripture. So that's what we did with the book of Jude. And that's what we're going to do today with the book of 2 John. 2 John is another very small book, and my goal is to try to finish that today, some way, somehow, hallelujah. We're going to try to finish that today. So let's go into 2 John, the book of 2 John. There's only one chapter, and in that chapter there are 13 verses. So hopefully we can get through 13 verses in one session, praise the Lord. You be praying about that. All right, let's look into it here. We're going to read from the King James initially. 2 John verse 1 of chapter 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, before we go any further, we'll stop here, and I'll just set this up. John is writing as the elder. If you look into the Greek here, this is the Greek word presbyter. In other words, he is, some translations even say the elderly elder or the most elder. In other words, he's basically saying that he is the elder over another elder. You know what I'm saying? A presbyter, one who is in authority. And he's writing to the elect lady and her children. Now, the word elect, or the phrase elect lady here, is two Greek words. One is elect, which is a unique or favored person. And then lady is the Greek word kuria. And kuria is the word for a lady. Okay. Now, you know, when we say lady and gentleman, it is a more refined phrase than just a guy and a gal. You know what I'm saying? A lady is one who is has some prestige, let's say. Well, this particular elect lady that it's talking about can be interpreted several ways, and people read this differently depending on their particular take on it, their background. The word Lady Kurea here could be used as a proper name. Kurea was a proper name in Greek as well as meaning lady. So you could read it this way, the elder or presbyter unto the favored Kurea, or this person, this individual named Kurea, and her children. Now, if you view it this way, he's either speaking to a woman. Some people who have studied this out, some theologians, say that this is a widow because her husband is not mentioned, which is a pretty, I don't know, flimsy interpretation if you ask me, that just because it doesn't mention her husband in the letter, that she is a widow. That doesn't really hold a lot of water with me. There are also those who say that Kurea, this particular lady that he is writing to, and her children, is a pastor of a local church, and her children is not talking about her biological children, but is talking about her congregation. And there are some translations that say, writing to the elect lady and her congregation. So that would lend, again, some credence to the idea that he's writing to a pastor whose name is Kurea. Well, praise the Lord. Either way, I won't be teaching that as doctrine. I'm simply saying that that is what a lot of theologians have surmised. And, you know, to borrow a little phrase from the scripture, it seemeth good to me, actually, that this is talking about a woman who is a pastor of a local church, because the rest of the letter addresses itself to this church body. And certainly it addresses itself to the body of Christ, because broadly speaking, that is who he's writing to here, is to the body of Christ. So let's look at it that way. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that are known, that have known the truth. Now, what is truth? Praise the Lord. That was a question that, Jesus got asked. What is truth? Well, Jesus said that the truth is the word of God. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So these are people that have known the truth of God's word. They've known the truths that were taught by Jesus, by the apostles, as they traveled in their journeys. And so these people are seekers after the truth. Verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. So, again, referring to the truth, if we read this as God's word, then he's saying, for the word's sake which dwelleth in us. Well, the word of God should dwell in you. It should be part of you. You should be studying the word, meditating on the word, speaking the word. You know, the Hebrew word for meditate means to murmur, to speak. And so as you read the word of God and murmur it and speak it to yourself, that builds it into you. It makes it part of you. It dwells in you. And it shall be with us forever, praise the Lord. Then it goes on to say, grace be with you, mercy and peace. Now, when we studied out the book of Jude, if you go listen to those audio tapes, one of the very first things he talks about is that grace and mercy be multiplied to you. Did you know you can pray that mercy be multiplied? That was a revelation that I got many years ago when I was meditating on what do I pray for my own father. My father was in the hospital. He didn't believe in the word of faith teaching as we do. He didn't know about healing as we do. And so I said, Lord, how do I pray for my father? And the Lord took me over to the book of Jude, to the first few verses there, where it talks about pray that grace and mercy, specifically mercy, be multiplied unto him. And so mercy includes the healing mercies of God. So that is something that you could do, is pray that mercy and grace and peace be multiplied unto those that you're praying for. That will certainly be a blessing. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm having to kind of look around my camera here. So let me do that. The Son of the Father in truth and love. My screen is right behind the camera, so I'm missing parts of it. So I'm having to look around it. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. Now, there's other translations. Matter of fact, let me go to one of the other translations here. This is the CSB Bible, where it says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth. Now, it's interesting to me that he's addressing a church here. And he says, I'm finding some of your children walking in the truth. Well, that tells me there were some that were walking in the truth. That's a shame. But that parallels what we see a lot today, unfortunately. There are people in local congregations that are walking according to the Word. They're doing the Word. But there are some, sadly, that aren't doing the Word. Those are the ones that are having issues, that are, you know, not living up to the blessing and blessings that God has for us in this life. Now, it's great for the sweet by and by. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you got your ticket punched and you're going to heaven. Amen? But what about the rotten here and now? Well, it doesn't have to be the rotten here and now. You know, the Scripture says that we should be believing for heaven upon the earth. Amen. We ought to be believing for the best right here in this world before we get to heaven. Okay? So, he's glad to hear that some of your children are walking in the truth. Well, those that are walking in the truth, guess what? They're walking in the Word. Those that are walking in the Word, guess what? Those are the ones that are getting the blessings that are available to us here on this earth. Now, those of us that aren't walking according to the truth, ouch, that means they're not getting those blessings that they should. It doesn't mean God's holding out on them. That's not the case. But you have to do the Word to have the benefits of the Word in your life. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. So now I ask you, dear lady, not as if I were writing a new command, but one that you've heard from the beginning, that we love one another. This is still the CSB Bible. I'm going to keep reading from that. This is love, that we walk according to His commands. Did you get that? The folks that are teaching Greasy Grace teaching, which I talk about in my study on the book of Jude, go listen to that, as I said. But Greasy Grace is what I call hyper-grace teaching, or people who believe that since we are under the grace of God, we don't have to tithe, we don't have to study, we don't have to speak the Word, we don't have to go to church, we don't have to do nothing. We can live any way we want to live, and we'll still be blessed. And the Bible does not teach that. That kind of teaching is error. It is incorrect. Okay? Remember, some were walking according to the Word. Those are the ones getting blessed. So you need to be walking according to the Word, all right? This is love, that we walk according to His commands. Other translations say, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Now, the word commandments here is a Greek word that can also be translated prescription. Just like a doctor writes you out a prescription, and you take that prescription, and it benefits you physically, in the same way, God gives us His commandments, and they are commandments, they're not suggestions, they're commandments. If we live according to them, we will be blessed, and we will be walking in love. A lot of people say, Brother Bill, how do I walk in love? You walk in love by walking according to the commandments of God. Oh, but I thought we were free from the law. You are free from the law. You're not free from the Word. Oh my, there's a Selah moment for you. You know what I mean by that? The word Selah was used in the Old Testament to mean stop and think about this. Think about what was just said. That is something worth taking a Selah moment for, which is, walking according to the word is not being under the law. It is simply walking in success, walking in blessing, walking according to God's word. That's the only way you're going to succeed in life. Amen? All right, let's keep reading. We're going to finish this. We're going to do it. This is love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command, as you have heard it from the beginning, that you walk in love. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. Now, see, this is what we're talking about. There are those that are teaching doctrines that are not correct, that are not accurate. Okay, one of those is the Greasy Grace doctrine. Another doctrine that is incorrect is one called Gnosticism. And this is specifically what John was dealing with to this church. He said, there are those who are coming out to you, they are coming into your church, and they are teaching this doctrine of Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism basically elevates the intellect over the teaching concerning the human spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong with studying and developing your mind, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But if you do that to the exclusion of the spirit, then you can get into error, okay? Gnosticism, one of the teachings of Gnosticism is that Jesus did not come in the flesh, that he was some spiritual force, okay? And he didn't come in the flesh, according to this teaching, and that was something they were fighting against there in the early church. That's something they were having to stand against in that early church, was this teaching concerning Gnosticism. And he says of them, many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Christ in the flesh. They do not confess the doctrine, the teaching, that Jesus came in the flesh. He specifically says that. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. He says that's the spirit that it's from. The deceiver, that's the devil, and the Antichrist, Antichrist, is against the anointed one and his anointing. So Antichrist teaching, Antichrist doctrine, is coming against Jesus, coming against the anointing that he is anointed with, okay? So, this is the deception that was going out in this early church, and again, one that we need to watch for today. He goes on to say in verse 8 that very thing. Watch yourselves so you don't lose what we've worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Now let's read that again. Watch yourselves. In other words, don't just watch others. Matter of fact, that's a way to fall into judgment. You don't want to do that. But watch yourself, okay? Keep yourself in line with the Word of God. Watch yourselves so you don't lose what we've worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Now, there's a lot of Christians today that are saying, why didn't all this stuff work for me? Well, watch yourself. What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you believing? What are you studying? What are you hearing? What are you listening to? That will determine your reward, or whether it works for you or not. Do you see that? Okay, let's keep going. Got to keep the pace. Anyways, verse 9, anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching, do not receive him into your home. This is critical, folks. Now, I saw this truth many years ago. And where I used to live many years ago, I was right there on the highway. My house was adjacent, right there to the highway. And invariably, various cults would come by. Jehovah's Witness and Mormons and various other people would come and knock on my door and say, can I come in a moment and share some great truths with you? And I had read this scripture. If anyone comes to you and does not bring the teaching of Christ, Jesus' teaching, sound doctrine, do not receive him into your home. Now, let me just stop a minute and say, wait a minute, you mean I shouldn't even let him into the house? Absolutely. I blocked the door. Now, I'm a pretty big guy, and I would just stand at the door, you ain't coming in here. Well, Dr. Bill, that's rude. I don't care. I'm being scriptural. I am standing on the Word of God. I'm not going to receive him into my house. You say, well, how are you going to preach to him? I can stand outside my house and talk to him just as well. And that's exactly what I would do. I would stand there, wouldn't let him into the house, but I would show him what the Word of God had to say. And, of course, they didn't want to hear that. They were teaching false doctrine. They get in their car and they drive away. But I didn't take any literature from them. I didn't let them into the house. Well, why not, Dr. Bill? Because keep reading the rest of the verse. Don't even greet him favorably. That's basically what it's saying. For the one who greets him shares in his evil works. Whoa! In other words, if I am a nice guy, so to speak, and I invite him into the house, and I say, oh, welcome to my house. Let's sit down here and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. I am partaking in his evil deeds. Uh-oh. Now, I'm quoting scripture, folks. This is not Dr. Bill's opinion. I'm quoting the Word of God. And there's a whole lot of people that would stay out of trouble if they would live according to this. Don't invite them into the house. Don't greet them. Don't partake in their teachings. Okay? Ouch. I know a lot of you that chafes you because you're sociable. You want to do stuff like that. You don't want to offend anybody. Well, I'll tell you what. There are those who will be offended for the Word's sake. And if you're walking on the Word and you're standing on the Word and you're acting on the Word, they may be offended, but you know what? It'll stick with them. Because you stood your ground and you said, no, you're not coming in my house, but let me show you what the Word of God has to say. And then if they turn and leave, you pray for them, and you believe that laborers are set across their path that will help minister to them and will draw them to the Lord. And perhaps what you said at that moment would be part of what they hear that would draw them to the Lord. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 12, though I have many things to write to you, I don't want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. He wanted to come and actually come to this local church and sit down with them and share his heart with them rather than just writing a letter, which is what he was doing here. Then he says, the children of your elect sister send you greetings. Now, again, if you look at this as a congregation, he's saying, from this congregation to your congregation, I send you greetings. And that's how he ends his writing here. Other translations say that he says, amen, which, of course, we know means, so be it. Hallelujah. So this is what the Word of God has to say. This is what we need to be doing, walking in the Word, rejecting false teaching, and being strong in your rejection of false teaching, being strong in your doctrine, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about just being strong in the doctrine of your local church or your local denomination or whatever it is. It's got to be the Word of God. That's what you got to be strong in, okay? Praise God. Well, I trust you enjoyed this today. This is a kind of an example of what expository teaching is all about. Taking the scripture, reading it in context, and getting the import of the teaching out of that. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to stop right here. And let me do this. Let me give you our address. I'd love to hear from you. You can write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. As it says there on the screen, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. You can also write me at my email address, which I'll put that up on the screen here, and that is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. Write us, let us know what this particular teaching broadcast means to you, and I would love to hear from you. Also, remember to go by our website, WOFM.org. Go to the website, check out our teaching on the book of Jude, check out all the other references and materials that we have there, teaching that we have there. It's all available for free, and I encourage you to check that out as well. Remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.